Okay. All right. Good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. We certainly look forward to this opportunity to be with you, to be able to have a chance to study with you this week, a chance to visit with you. We express our appreciation, and I'll have more to say about the work in Seminole that you're involved in helping me in the preaching there. But for now, let's get into our Bible class, and we'll move along and see if we can get it in the time that we have allotted. Communication throughout history has depended on writing and drawing. And unlike speaking, which of course is the first communication we're used to, unlike speaking, things that are written down are more permanent. We can go back to them and refer to them. But really, the things that are written down aren't of any value unless we read it. Ancient hieroglyphics is the form of writing that's pictures, picture writing. And we see a span from ancient hieroglyphics to computerized digital reading or displays of different kinds. We have readers that we can take with us everywhere we go. We import information over the internet and carry it with us. So we've come a long way in the way we write things down. Writing has been necessary for communication and record keeping in all societies. Be able to keep track of things and how society runs. Lawmaking and law enforcing depend upon writing and reading. Case law is the lawyer may draw upon case law. That means backlogs of things that have been recorded that they can look at in similar cases and see how decisions were made. Every profession has some kind of a literary arrangement that guides and governs that profession. Maybe it's bylaws, maybe it's some kind of mission statement or a code of ethics. But these things are written down, so they become a standard for people to know what to do. But the most important need for reading is to be able to go to heaven. Now, someone might say, you mean you've got to be able to read to go to heaven? No, I don't believe you have to read to go to heaven. But you do have to know what's in the book to go to heaven. So it's important that that book and the information in it be imparted to someone. And after all, God has preserved His Word and His mind in a written form. So obviously reading is an important part of God's arrangement for going to heaven. Parents are responsible for teaching reading to their children. Why would I make a statement like that? Most of us in our country today, we rely on children learning to read as they pick things up, but in our school systems, they will begin to learn to read, or at least be taught to read, or are supposed to be that way. In our day and time, sometimes reading is not emphasized as much as it should be, but we should teach our children to read the Bible. It's important that we teach them how to read in order to read the Bible, if for no other reason on this earth, to read the Bible, to get the information from the Bible. The strength of local congregations depends upon the reading of the Bible. When a congregation spends little time reading the Bible, then they're going to be weak in the content of the Bible. And that congregation will be shallow. Shallow congregations with shallow knowledge are not able to defend themselves against infiltration of error. The old devil knows this. He knows when a congregation doesn't spend much time in the text of the Scriptures. And he'll work on that and take advantage of that every chance that he gets. Lost people are saved. Saved people keep their faith by the process of reading. What I would like to do this morning is look in the Scriptures and see how God emphasized reading from the beginning to the end of the Bible. And I want us to begin by looking at Israel. Israel was required to read the law of God. In Exodus chapter 19 and verses 1 through 6, Exodus 19 verses 1 through 6, we can read in this context where God told Israel that they would be a special treasure to Him, and it's going to depend upon reading. Watch how it unfolds. In chapter 19, beginning in verse 1, of Exodus. Let me get in Exodus. I'm in Deuteronomy. Here we go. In the first section here, it talks about Moses refers to, or rather the Israelites had been in the wilderness of Sinai, And Moses goes up to God to receive instruction from him. Go down with me, if you will, to verse 4. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Now, in this passage of Scripture, in what we have just read, he said, you will be my special people if you keep the commands. But here's how the commands came to the people at that time. In Exodus chapter 20, God gave the law. We read the Ten Commandments here. In Exodus chapter 20 and verses, chapters 20 and toward the end of chapter 23, we can see where there were various instructions God gave based upon these Ten Commandment laws. And then we come to chapter 24 and look at what verses 3 through 7 says. And so Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and he rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young men of the children of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half the blood and put it in the basin, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. You will be a special treasure to me if you keep the law. And here's how they were going to keep the law. It was going to be read to them so that they would know the law, and repeatedly be read to them so that they would continue to follow that law. Reading was necessary for the survival of Israel. And God instated this concept of reading law or reading to the people early on when the Israelites became a great nation. Now, even when we come to the New Testament times, the Jews had carried over this practice of reading. When, of course, through that time from the book of Exodus until the New Testament, the Israelites had been scattered throughout the world. And now they had their form of worship in the form of synagogue worship, where they would come together and read. In Exodus, or rather in Acts chapter 13 and verse 26, the Apostle Paul is in Antioch of Pisidia. And he comes into the synagogue in the earlier verses there, where the law and the prophets were being read. And upon that information that was being read, then he drew his lessons to teach them when he had an opportunity to speak. And he said, men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets, which were read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. So they read the Bible, or they read the Old Testament scriptures every Sabbath, because God had told them to read the law back a long time ago before that. Now, we talked about the fact that the strength of Israel depended upon their reading. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 17 and look in the context of verses 14 through 20, Deuteronomy chapter 17, we can read where Moses said that when you get into the land and you select a king, that it would be important for that king to read the law himself. Beginning in about verse 14, when you come to the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and possess it and dwell in it, and say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me, you shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses, one from among your brethren, you shall set as king over you. You may not set a foreigner over you who is not your brother. Go on down to verse 18 with me. Also it shall be that when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priests and the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and to be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, that he may prolong his days in the kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Now, when we read all of that, we see that the leader of the country was to know that law. In fact, he was to make a copy from what the priests had, and he was to read it himself. He was to read it and understand it as much so as the poorer of the Israelites. Here he is the king, but he was not to be above anyone in that he was to keep the law like everyone else. So he was subject to that law. And Moses said, when you get in the land, that's what the king needs to do in order for Israel to be strong and in order to lead them. We have an example in Josiah. Josiah was one of the good kings of Judah. Unfortunately, his strength came later in the deteriorating Judah or the nation of Judah, and he saved it for a little while from destruction because of his goodness. He restored to Israel a certain amount of dignity according to God's law in their worship. But before him, his predecessors were evil. And when he took the throne, he decided to have the temple refurbished. And in the process, those who were doing the work found the book of the law. Well, what does that mean? Well, if they found it, it had been lost. And one of the evidences it had been lost and not been read was the wickedness of the kings before him. And he was devastated at the fact that here is God's law and the things it says and the things that Israel had been doing. And he, by that, then revived Israel. And there was a reading of the law that he read to them from the law in order to restore the dignity to Israel that God wanted it to have. And because of that, God forestalled any kind of punishment on Judah because of Josiah's efforts there. Look with me, if you will, in Deuteronomy chapter 31 in verses 9 through 13. In this section, we're not going to read this, but just note from this section here that before the kings were to come into power, that when they entered into the land of Canaan, Moses commanded that there be a regular public reading of the law. Again, reading was important to their survival. If you look in chapter 6 and verses 1 through 9, we find here that it was to be read to the children. The survival of Israel was not just that they be good only, but that they perpetuate good. And the way they would perpetuate it would be through reading. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and beginning in verse 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes, his commandment, and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Now, what did he mean by that very last statement? Those are the places where everybody goes all the time. Now, you may wander around in different parts of the city or in the house, but you're going to be going in and out of the doors or the gates. Now, write the law, he's saying, so that you will regularly see it, and your children will see it. And when your children see it, they will be strong in the law, and their children will be, and their children will be. Unfortunately, this is sometimes the breakdown in any society that follows after that which is right and decent and moral. They fail to enforce it or teach it to those who are after them, the children. And so he's insisting that the strength of Israel will be because of the knowledge of the law and the following of the law, and that strength is perpetuated by teaching our children. Do we want the church to be strong tomorrow? If we don't care, then don't read to your children. But if you do care, read God's Word to your children. Read and explain it to them. Teach them the importance of reading it so that when they get older, they take for granted it's important to read it. And guess what? They will turn and teach their grandchildren. I'm getting at that age now. I've got 8 grandchildren and 1 on the way. The oldest one is 10 years old. I'm coming to appreciate more and more the value and the joy of having grandchildren. And it would break my heart to see them go astray and into the world when they grow up. And as grandparents, some of you here maybe experience that. And it breaks your heart, doesn't it? But we need to diligently teach our children so that our children will teach their children, and we as grandparents might even have some influence on the children. The church tomorrow, Israel in the future. It depended upon reading. After Joshua defeated Jericho then, in Joshua chapter 8 and verses 30 through 35, they read the law in order to understand it so that they may be committed to it. Israel and Judah became captives of foreign nations. Why? Well, because they didn't read the law. They didn't stay with it. They didn't keep their minds fresh with it. And consequently, they gave themselves into sin and gave over to idolatry and were carried away ultimately by foreign nations. And Israel was revived then because of the law. There were those who were the remnant that were brought back to God. If you look with me in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verses 1 through 13, I'd like to take the time to read that section. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah was in captivity, Persian captivity. I'll get it right here in a minute. And he petitioned to go into the land of the homeland of Jerusalem and Judea, in that area there, and rebuild the walls. Ezra the priest was responsible for the spiritual or the worship of the temple and so forth. They came together to rebuild the walls, rebuild the temple, and there was that day of dedication and recognition of what all had been accomplished. And guess what they did? They read the law. Read with me, if you will, in chapter 8. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women, and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of law. And so Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood which they had made for the purpose. And beside him at his right hand stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Urijah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah. And at his left hand, Padaiah, Mishael, Micaiah, Hashem, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Do you respect the reading of the Word of God? Did you respect what I just did? All I did was read from God's Word. These people revered that opportunity. When he opened the book, they stood up. When we look at some of the things that are said earlier there, those who could understand, they were attentive to the book of the law. So it was important to them at this point in the success of Israel's return. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua, Benai, Sherebiah, Jamin, Achab, Shabbethai, Hodijah, Maaseiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peleah, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. Folks, that is Bible study. That is preaching the gospel. When time is spent taking the Word of God and it is exposed to the hearts of those who are listening, that is preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel is not telling stories that have no relevance of the Word of God. The more we can understand the Word of God, not just hear it read, but understand it. And that's what they were doing here. Ezra was preaching to them. And he was making his points. They read it and gave the sense of it. so they could know what was in it. So it's very important that we spend time in the reading of God's Word. If we're going down through the context, we note that when it was read, it upset the people. And I think the reason is because they saw themselves as a mirror. They saw the law said this, and they had been doing the opposite of that, and they were disturbed. But of course, Ezra and Nehemiah assured them not to be sorrowful on this day. This was a special day of occasion, to enjoy this occasion. Look down in verse 13. Now on the second day, the head of the father's house and all the people with all the priests and Levites were gathered to Ezra the scribe in order to understand the words of the law. In verse 18, and day by day from the first day until the last day, he read from the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days. On the eighth day, there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner. And so Israel enjoyed those blessings for a while because they got back to the law, they got back to the reading of the law. Let's move over into the New Testament for just a moment. Jesus himself emphasized reading. And we look into God's law as he made his proofs and arguments with the Jews. He emphasized, go back and read the old law. What did it say? What did it say? Have you not read? He was challenged by the Jews there because his disciples had eaten something on the Sabbath day and gathered on the Sabbath day. And Jesus said, have you not read what David had done? And then on another occasion, the Pharisees challenged Jesus on the subject of divorce. And what did he say? Have you not read? Have you not read? He takes them right back to their reading. Haven't you read these things? And then we notice that Jesus, after he cleansed the temple, people began to praise him. And questioning that, he said, have you never read? And then we read again where the chief priest challenged his authority. And he says, have you never read? We go to the Sadducees who challenged him on the subject of the resurrection because they didn't believe in the resurrection. And he said, have you not read? When we look in chapter 4 and verses 4 and 7 and 10, when Satan was testing him in the wilderness there, what did he do? He said, it is written, it is written, it is written on those three times. Well, what did he imply by that? It is written to be read. It is written to be read. It is something that is written so we can read. This is what it says. And then we can look in Luke chapter 10 and verses 25 through 28, where a lawyer came to him and asked him questions about what it would take for eternal life. And he said, what is written? And what is your reading of it? So Jesus leaned on the importance of reading. The apostles themselves and the prophets, they relied on reading. First of all, they used references or made reference to Old Testament prophecies. By making a reference to an Old Testament prophecy, then his audience would have to be acquainted with that prophecy, and he would, in essence, be urging them, as we'll see in just a moment, prove it. Go back there and read it. What I'm saying the prophets have said, read what it says. So many times you'll find a lot of quotes from the Old Testament, and that would be an implied idea of going back and reading those things. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, the very first gospel sermon, when everything that was unfolding for centuries came to that one moment on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, where is the first place he went to start his sermon? Well, did Joel the prophet say? And so he refers back to something that they could read, and reads to them the prophecy of Joel. And then where did he go immediately after Joel's prophecy? David's writings and the psalmist as he wrote those things. Things that people had in their hands. And the reference was to the very things they needed to be quite familiar with, which they had so distorted they did not recognize the Christ in those prophecies. And then we can go to another example. Stephen, in his sermon in Acts chapter 7, he makes reference to the history of the Israelite people. He goes down through the different things that took place in the Egyptian bondage and the release and the kings and so forth. So he goes through that, and he's making reference to things that were written down so that they could then read it. The Hebrew writer quotes quite frequently from Old Testament scriptures, and that again implies do the research. What he wrote, what does it mean? Well, go back and read what the Old Testament prophets were talking about. The one I like to refer to especially is in Acts chapter 17 and verses 10 through 11. Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 11. It's the Bereans. They are called more fair-minded or more noble. And it's because they read their scriptures. They read them, researched their scriptures. Paul had just come from Thessalonica. He had preached a sermon from the Old Testament as he brought the points of the Old Testament and explained the Christ. And they ran him out of town. He comes to Berea, and he stands up and he preaches from the Old Testament. I believe he probably took the same sermon outline, and he preached that same thing in Berea. But these people, instead of running him out of town, they decided to check up on him. Who was Paul to come in here and say these things? And he's making reference to Old Testament scriptures, and we have the Old Testament scriptures, so let's go back and read them. And so they searched the scriptures to see whether they were true. And they found out that what Paul was saying fit like a glove, it fit perfectly, and they then had confidence in his teaching. Reading the scriptures gave them that knowledge. Don't be the kind of person that when someone comes to you and says, this is what God's Word says, oh, I don't believe that, and go on your way. We run into denominational people like that, who, if you show them what the Word of God is or tell them in conversation, well, the Bible says that you need to be baptized in order to be saved. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, why don't you go read it? Well, I don't want to read it. Well, that's dishonesty. But the Bereans weren't like that. They went back and they searched the Scriptures. Now understand, Scriptures here doesn't mean the book of Revelation or 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. It's a reference to the Old Testament Scriptures that they had access to that they could read or that was read in the synagogue on every Sabbath. Paul's ability to instruct brethren depended upon reading. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4, when he talks about the dispensation of the grace of God, how that God had given to him by revelation this knowledge of the mystery, and that he wrote it down so that when they read, they may understand his knowledge of the mystery of Christ, which had been hidden in years before, but now had been revealed to the holy apostles and prophets. And so we encourage brethren to read. Read the letters, read the epistles, read the things that were being circulated by inspired writers. For example, in Colossians chapter 3, or 4 and verse 16, Paul said, now when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also to the churches of Laodicea, and that you likewise read the epistle from the Laodiceans. Read. Read. These are inspired words. It's important you understand the message of these words. So he emphasized reading. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 27. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 27, Paul said, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. Read once again. Now for the last few minutes that we have, I want to look at the importance of reading for us today. And that is that our salvation, the salvation of our children, and the ability to defend the truth, defend ourselves, defend a local congregation against the invasion of evil, depends upon reading and making sure that we read regularly and frequently from the Word of God. Our salvation is described in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 12 through 13. Paul writes to Timothy and tells him several things here that pertain to his personal conduct and devotion in the Scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Go on down to verse 15. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Now, very likely, what he says in verse 13, till I come, give attention to reading. He should read the Old Testament Scriptures, and this likely has reference to him reading to others. Especially when we come to the latter verse, when he says, those who hear you. But the point is this, read. reading is important to salvation. You can save yourself. You can save those who hear you through reading, meditating, looking at the things of God's Word. When it comes to our faith, the Scriptures teach us in the point Paul is making about having faith in that place of abode that we can have someday in the future. He makes a principal point here. We walk by faith and not by sight. But faith is not something that's based upon just an imagination. It's based on evidence. And evidence comes from a source, and that source is the Word of God. In Romans chapter 10, 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We base our faith on what is, not on what is not. It is what is revealed. And how do we know what's revealed? We go and read it. And then we cultivate our faith based upon the things that we read. John made this statement concerning the things of Jesus in John chapter 20 and verse 30. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in His name. Back up from the end and go back into that verse. You will have life in His name. Why? Because you have read what is written about Him. And so we get life, eternal life, because we go and read, and we take what we read, and we put it in our lives. But if you don't read it, you don't know what's in there. So the importance again is stressed on this idea of reading. About the children, children are to be taught. We read in Deuteronomy 6 a while ago that you teach your children, you teach your grandchildren, you make the truth apparent so that it can be read easily at all times for those that are around. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 3 through 5, we can read about Timothy's background with his mother and his grandmother. And then we come over to chapter 3 and verses 14 through 15 and notice what it says. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy is a revered teacher of the truth. He was one highly respected. Why? Somebody read to him when he was a child. Someone taught him the valuable principles of truth when he was a child. The Holy Scriptures here is not referring to a compiled, canonized New Testament, but it is referring to the fact that he was taught things from the Old Testament that had their valuable teachings for the New Testament or Christ's coming and so forth, and principles that he could learn by, that from a child you were taught things that were read to you by your grandmother and your mother. They had a great influence in his life. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. You bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord by knowing what the Lord would admonish. And so you have to read, and you teach your children things from the Word of God. Reading to children is so vital. It is so important. Children are older and smarter than you think. We as parents lose track of how quickly they mature. You can begin with a nursing baby when you bring it home from wherever it's born and start reading the Bible to them. And I believe they will begin to pick up not the words and understand the articulation of the English grammar and all that, but they will know that something's going on at this moment when mom is feeding that baby and reading from the rhythm of the Scriptures. Their mind can pick that up. And at what point will they begin to start detecting what reading is? I don't know. But we sure need to catch it when it comes. So start reading. Start reading to your children. Let them hear. Reading is something that comes mostly from hearing and understanding before they even begin to read themselves. And then finally, a defense of the gospel. Issues will arise in the church that challenge the church. People will come in. Men will come in, and they will be smooth talkers, and they may come from some place and look like they are a good, faithful Christian, and maybe the church will embrace them, but they will introduce some kind of ideas and sneak around behind, and churches have been divided because of this kind of action that Satan uses in brethren. So what if we have not read and studied like we should? And these things sneak in on us. They'll sneak in on us, and we'll take it and accept it if we don't know what's in the Scriptures. it's important that we understand and read what the Scriptures have to say. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13, we were reading in verse 14, when Paul was talking to Timothy about continuing in the things which you have learned, verse 13 he says, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you devote yourself to the Scriptures. As it goes on down and describes the Scriptures' ability to attack or rather handle all aspects of our need of knowledge for instruction, correction, for reproof, for doctrine. We have these things that are mentioned there. Then you go back to the earlier part in chapter 2 and verses 14 through 18. We go to chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, be diligent, or as some translations say, study, to show yourself approved to God. Worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You have something here making a statement that you've got to rightly divide the word of truth. In other words, rightly apply it. Go to it and use it in its proper application. But you've got to read it to do that. You've got to study it to do that. Why? Well, verse 14. Remind them of these things. Charge them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers, but be diligent to present yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more and more ungodliness. How will we know the difference? Because we have taken the time to know what's in the Bible, we'll know what's not in the Bible. And then we'll be able to handle those attempts to infiltrate error in the body of Christ. Now, let's bring our lesson to a close. In conclusion, look at some questions and seriously think about these things in your own habits, in your own life. Is reading the Bible a priority in your life? We've already seen God emphasized it by His Word, and seeing where it is important. Do you read it regularly with understanding? Do you read it regularly in order to gain a message for it? Or do you read it on a schedule? And I don't have a problem with schedules. You know, Bible reading schedules are good for our discipline and routine. But do you just read black letters on white paper and go through it and say, look, I've read my Bible this year. Well, what do you read? I read my Bible this year. Well, do you remember what you read? I read my Bible this year. If that's all you're doing in reading your Bible, just to say, I read my Bible, that's the wrong reason. But you read like Ezra did. Read so you can get something out of it. And don't read it just because you're in trouble. You've got a problem that's come along. Well, I need to go to the Bible and get a Band-Aid and fix myself. Read it regularly. And a lot of times these problems that come along won't come along because you have already gotten your mind trained to doing the right thing before a problem comes along. And so there's the importance in reading. Again, do you read it regularly to your children? If you don't, then you carve out of a busy schedule a time when you will read the Scriptures to your children. Read it not just in a monotonal, rote type way of saying it to them. Read it like it says it. Read these stories and accounts of bravery and heroism and strength and courage and morality. Read it to your children. Get them to get caught up in it. It is so important. Do you understand that courage and strong faith depend on knowing what is in God's Word? You understand the importance of that, and therefore the reason for reading. And finally, do you understand that everything in life we do must pass God's test? And God's test is in written form, so we need to read the test, see what He expects of us, and then live by it. Did I finish early? Well, just tack that on to some of our later lessons. We'll do that. I appreciate your attention very much.